All right. I would really encourage you, if you haven't, I would encourage you to check out our website and our Facebook page. Michelle is constantly adding new stuff. So there's stuff coming up all the time. So if you haven't looked at them, or you haven't looked at them in a while, I would encourage you to do so this week. Because this is one way that we can stay in the loop as to what's happening here at the church. Even more importantly, it will help you know how to better pray and invest in being a part of the game plan of making disciples. So just like our title screen or our title slide for the series has a visual representation of a football play, we also have a visual representation here at the church of the game plan of making disciples. So up on the screen, you're going to see a baseball diamond. Now, in the very center of that, getting the game rolling, on the pitcher's mound is the great commandment to love God with everything we have and are, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we also see the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples. Now, each one of the bases, as you look around them, have one of our four Bs. In order, belonging, believing, becoming, and bringing. And between each one of these bases is an arrow pointing to the next. Now, this is an important feature of this plan because when you get to home plate, you actually keep going around the bases, keep growing as a disciple. So when you're bringing, it actually continues to influence you in helping become. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. All right, so the very first base in the game plan is belonging. Now, you might be out there wondering, why? See, belonging is the first base because the discipleship process is all about relationships. Growing as a disciple of Jesus is not just about knowing more information, it's about God at work in us and through us, so that we become more like him in all areas of our lives, especially our relationships. Now, there's a second reason as well. Jesus sees belonging as a critical foundation for his Father's game plan of making disciples. In fact, belonging is so important to Jesus that the very last thing he did with all of his 12 disciples before heading off to the cross to die was to pray about it. It's this prayer that's our text this morning. So we're going to look together at John 17, starting in verse 6. Now, you can find the text in the Bibles in front of you, in the chairs in front of you, or you can follow along with us up on the screen. So this is John 17, starting at verse 6. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they keep your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they believe that you sent me. I am praying for them. In other words, Jesus is praying for his disciples here. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may become one, even as we are one. All right, skipping down to verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, so talking about his 12 disciples right there, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Folks, this is us. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." All right, before I go on, I have to admit, John 17 is one of those chapters in the Bible that if we read through it real fast, it makes your brain hurt. There's a lot of I's and you's and me's and some stuff about being one, and it's all repeated a couple of times. This can lead us to think two things. On the one hand, we can become confused and think that the person who is speaking is also very confused. Or, on the other side, we can see that what the person is speaking is so desperately important to them that they say the same thing multiple times in order to make sure we truly understand the importance of what they're saying. There is intentionality in their repetition. This is exactly what's going on here. Through all this repetition, Jesus is showing us the importance of belonging. And even more than that, as we look at the prayer, because of what Jesus included, he shows us that when we belong to Jesus' team, it impacts three sets of relationships in our lives. Now, the very first relationship that is impacted is our relationship with our coach. This is our relationship with Jesus. Now, a real simple way to remember this is that this is our up relationship with God. Now, have you ever watched a professional sports team go out and play their entire season without ever being coached by someone? Now, while we could possibly debate if they're being coached on by how well they're doing, the reality is that no serious sports team would stand a chance playing at a professional level without a coach. This is because a player's relationship with his or her coach is vital to their ability to play a sport well. The coach is the one who has authority over the entire team. He defines what it means to belong to the team. The coach sets the direction for the team. And the coach is the one who trains and equips the players to become even better players. And the best coaches, the very best coaches, are the ones that care about what's happening on the field as well as what's happening off the field. They're walking with the players through their success, through their failure, through injury, through recovery, through training. They're investing into the players' lives. They're investing into their families. They're doing all of life with them. And as a coach does all these things, a relationship is built where the players eventually come to love and trust their coach. And as a result, the players' lives are shaped to become what the coach is calling them to become. Now, these same things are true of our relationship with God. I put it this way for your notes. Real belonging only comes through Jesus. Now, I want to do a quick aside here. This is my first time throwing the full-out printed notes in there, so you'll notice that some of the things are a little out of order. So it's all good. They're all in there. All right. So let's look at our up relationship, this part of the game plan that our coach Jesus has laid out for us. So let's go back and look at John 17. We're going to look at verses 20 and 21 first. "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Again, this is us. "That they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me." And then again, Jesus talks about this even more clearly in verse 26. Here's what he says. "I make known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." See, Jesus is praying that our real belonging would be rooted in him. See, Jesus knows that this kind of oneness, this kind of belonging, is not something that we can just make happen on our own. In fact, it cannot happen without him. And this is because without Jesus, our heart's default setting is to love and please ourselves. We want to do things our way. And the reality is, if everyone is ultimately looking to do things their own way, there will never be a deepening oneness or belonging in our lives, or a belonging on a team. Right, think of it this way. Picture yourself as the first baseman on the church softball team. And the coach has just put you into their game. So you're heading out to first base, look over, oh my goodness. There's that, this guy's an awesome batter. Oh, he's coming up to the plate. You know, he's a real strong hitter. I'm actually a better outfielder than I am a first baseman. So I'm going to head out there. Now think about this. What would happen if you left first base, your assigned spot on the team that your coach has given you, and you ran out into the outfield? Ultimately, there'd probably be a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos, and you can expect there would be a runner at least on first base. Yet, the reality is, the deeper issue is that even more than you not being on first base, the fact is you didn't trust your coach. See, you thought the game would go better if you did it your way. And here's where it is important to remember when Jesus is praying this prayer. This is the day before Jesus goes to the cross. See, Jesus, knowing our hearts and our affections by default, are aimed at ourselves and not at him. He prays this prayer that our hearts and affections would be turned towards him, because he is the one who makes us one. See, not only did he pray that we might become one with him and his Father and about our belonging, but then he goes to the cross so that our oneness would be possible through him. See, this is the ultimate example of God's abundant goodness and love towards us. Even when we were rebelling against him and living life on our own terms, looking to live our way no matter the cost, Jesus died so that the barrier of sin that is keeping us from experiencing that oneness with his Father and him could be torn down. Because of Jesus, we can know and experience more and more the kind of deep loving relationship, the kind of belonging that he has with his Father. And this is what he wants for us. See, we cannot belong with God without our coach and our Savior, Jesus. So as our coach, Jesus continues to teach and guide and instruct us. But Jesus isn't like other coaches. He's not just standing on the sidelines. He is in the game with us. See, in Jesus' game plan, his coaching is about more than just teaching rules. He wants us to know, by being in the game with us, that he cares, that he is with us, that he loves us. But you know what? There's another reason. He not only wants us to know how to play the game, but he is the expert at playing it. See, he knows that we will play our best game when we learn how to play it like he does, when we grow as his disciples. So when we follow the game plan of discipleship that he has given us, we grow. In your notes, I've expressed it this way. Belonging to Jesus means we become like our coach. See, as disciples of Jesus, we are to be radically shaped to reflect Jesus in and through our lives. So as we spend time listening and responding to God through his word, as we hear from him in prayer, as we follow his directions, we grow to look more like Jesus. And the reality is, just like with any other relationship, the more time that we spend with someone, the more this leads to us becoming like the other person. But you know what? God goes even further. See, at the very root of this process, he is in our lives helping us. In fact, his Holy Spirit, if we are his disciples, his Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts and our minds and our actions to help us belong more and more to Jesus. And as a result, our lives show it. So belonging to Jesus impacts our up relationship with our coach. But you know what? It also impacts another set of relationships. It impacts our relationships with our teammates, our fellow disciples of Christ. These are our in relationships. So take a quick pause here, guys. Look around. These are the in relationships. These are your fellow disciples of Christ. See, our belonging to each other as his disciples is so important to Jesus that he doesn't just mention it once. He doesn't just mention it twice or even three times. He actually mentions it four times here in this prayer. Listen to all the times he mentions this in relationship in these verses. Here's verse 11. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may become one, even as we are one. Verses 20 and 21. I do not ask for these only, but also those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, and so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Okay, 22 and 23. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know you sent me and love them even as you loved me. See, Jesus is very clear. It is his heart's desire that his team is growing in our oneness, our belonging to each other. This is vitally important for us as his disciples, because our belonging to each other is a result and a reflection of our belonging to him. In other words, if we are to grow in our up relationship with God, we must also be growing in our in relationship with each other. Take it on a flip side. We cannot grow in our in relationship with each other without also growing in our up relationship with God. We need both. So the reality is we cannot play alone. Jesus calls us to be one with him and with each other. Okay, this means that there's actually several applications for us as we belong to each other as teammates. I'm only going to look at a couple, but there are a ton more. So here's the first we're going to look at. Belonging to each other means we love each other like Jesus. This is a natural outflow of us becoming like our coach. Now, if you've been a disciple of Jesus for a while, you probably heard that we are to love each other like Jesus. This makes it easy to hear this reminder and move on. Yet the reality is, loving each other like Jesus loves us and loves them, that other person, is central to what it means to be a disciple. I also have to be honest and recognize it's very easy to say and hear this, but it's very difficult to do in reality. Why? Okay, let's put it back in football context here. How many of you could call the plays, the stats, and even predict what's going to happen with your favorite football team? I would guess probably some of us. Okay, let's take another step. How many of you, if you were called by the NFL today, would be ready tomorrow to play at NFL level? Anybody going to take that? Any takers? Probably not. Because while knowing the game and playing the game are intimately related, in application, they're two different things. See, training on Jesus' team, Becoming like our coach means that each day is an opportunity to live our faith, our oneness with him, and our oneness with our teammates. This means that all of our words, all of our thoughts, all of our actions towards each other are to be purposefully aimed at reflecting Jesus in every area of our life and helping others do the same. We are looking to present others complete, one, in Christ. Colossians 1:28. Now, the cool thing about a relationship with Jesus is that when this becomes the goal of our life, we actually want to grow in our belonging in our in relationships with each other and our up relationship with God. Now, there's a flip side to loving each other like Jesus. We have to be willing and available to let other people love us like Jesus. I put it this way for your notes. Belonging to each other means we let others into our lives. See, the reality is we tend to like living in extremes. On the one extreme, we love letting people into our lives, but we shy away from intentionally investing into others' lives, loving them like Jesus. And when this happens, we end up being the only ones receiving the instruction, the training, the care, and we fail to see that others desperately need it too. Now, while I recognize that Jesus could provide all of these things without us, Jesus' game plan of making disciples is for us to learn how to belong to him and others by intentionally investing in others' lives. And when we don't follow his game plan, the team suffers. On the other extreme, we can be so excited to love others like Jesus and serving that we have no time for other people to actually invest and speak into our lives. The reality is when this happens, we're actually moving away from Christ-like belonging. Let me put the first part of verse 21 back up on the screen. Jesus prays that we may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. This means that the Father and the Son are constantly giving and receiving love in their perfect oneness. Yet when we put up walls in our lives and refuse to let others come alongside us to speak godly truth, wisdom, and to love us like Jesus, we are removing ourselves from the oneness that we are called to share with each other as Jesus' disciples. Now, I have to say, this kind of oneness is scary. Because when people are in our lives enough to know where we need to become like Jesus, we might hear things we don't want to hear. In fact, they may hold up a mirror and expose that we're giving our love to things other than Jesus. They may even expose that it's not only affecting our own oneness with our coach, but it's also affecting our oneness with our team as a whole. Yet, in reality, a teammate coming up to us and doing this is a lot like a teammate sharing how our pitching stance will cause joint damage down the road. Not only is our stance hurting us, not only will it cause that joint damage, but it will hurt the team if we don't take seriously what is happening. See, in addition, keeping others from being a part of our lives doesn't just keep us from hearing God's truth in our lives. It also keeps us from experiencing the joy of growing in our team spirit and growing in our oneness and belonging with our coach and our team. There's an amazing, amazing joy there. This is the reason, the goodness is so great there that this is the reason why Jesus wants it for us. Now, the reality is belonging to our coach Jesus and our teammates always easy? I'd be lying to you if I said it was. Just ask some of the football players who were here for meals this past week. See, when we went up to them and we asked them how their practice had gone earlier that day, some of them looked at us and said, man, I nearly died. But their grueling practice did not cause them to quit the team. In fact, when they signed on, they decided that they were all in. Not just for the games that they would play, but also for the practice that it would take for them to play the game. See, the football players we had the privilege of meeting this week, they hadn't actually played a game together yet. But the sense of belonging, the team spirit that was already being created, was undeniable. And it's because they were all in. And they were all in it together. See, belonging to Jesus means that we are all in the game. When we love each other like Jesus, let others into our lives, we are reflecting our coach, Jesus. Yet our coach never does things part way. Jesus' love never quits. He is always all in. In addition, Jesus includes all of us as teammates in his game plan of making disciples. See, in John 17, Jesus doesn't make any exceptions of who is to become one in their up relationship with God or their in relationship with each other. Because the reality is, just as a sports team has different players in different roles and positions on the field, we also, as members of Jesus' team, all have vital roles to play. To be the disciples that Jesus has called us to be, we need to be all in and all in it together. All right, so we just looked at our up relationship with God, our in relationship with each other, but you know what? Belonging to Jesus goes a step further. It also impacts our out relationship with those who are not yet on our team. For your notes, I put it this way. This is everyone else. Let's look at verses 20 through 23 of John 17 again. So 20 and 21. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be in us. So that the world may believe you have sent me. Okay, 20 and 23. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly one. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, loved the world, even as you loved me. Did you catch that? Our belonging to God and each other also comes with a mission. It is so that the world, or everyone who is not yet on our team, might know that God came into the world so that they too can belong in a relationship with Jesus and with us. This was Jesus' mission, and as a team, this is our mission too. I put it this way for your notes. When we belong to Jesus and each other, we live as a sent people. See, God sent his son Jesus in the world to pursue us. He was sent on a mission that we might know and respond to his love. He went looking for us and brought us onto his team. In the same way, our coach sends us to pursue others. This is Jesus' game plan. John 17, 18 says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. See, he wants us to follow his game plan. He wants us to be making disciples and adding people to his team. This means that we have to invest into the lives of others who aren't yet on Jesus' team. We are to live sent. So we pursue them, not in a I'll tell you about Jesus and then kind of move on kind of way, but by letting them into our lives and going into theirs where they can see a real belonging in action. In other words, while we are living out, investing into others' lives, our friends, our neighbors, students, our classmates, our families get to see the joy of belonging to Jesus through our up relationship with God and our in relationships with each other. And ultimately, when they see the goodness of God in and through us, God draws them to belong to Him too. This is the heart of why we do things here, the heart of why we do things like community groups. It's because growing in our up and our in relationships are critical for our out relationships. See, because we also grow in our up and in relationships, it's as we grow in those as we are living out as a team. Out relationships are necessary to the game plan of making disciples. This is because we reflect what it means to belong to Jesus' team. Jesus prays over and over again for our oneness with Him and with each other, because it is through our out relationships that the world sees His love. Here's the final point for your notes. And it's really a summary of everything that we looked at here in John 17. Living as a disciple means living up, in, and out. Now, if you're taking notes on the note sheets, you'll notice that there's a triangle at the bottom with three blank spaces at the corner. Each one of those blanks represents one of the three relationships. On the top, our up relationship with God. The bottom right, our in relationships with each other. And then the bottom left, our out relationships. This is the relational triangle. See, it reminds us that when we're following God's plan to make disciples, we are called to invest in all three of these areas, the up, the in, and the out. And just like a triangle is not a triangle without three corners, all three are essential to our life for our lives to be in balance as disciples. Now, this is a huge calling. But if we remember who we belong to, we remember we never go at this calling alone. We have God and we have each other. Now, in the next 3 weeks, we're going to be going over the next three B's: believing, becoming, and bringing. Now, hopefully you'll start to notice and you'll start to see that just like with the triangle this morning, all four of these B's are intricately connected, intimately connected with each other. They can't be neatly separated out from the others. So as we're walking through these B's, I would encourage you to be in prayerful consideration of where God is calling you as an individual team player to grow, and where God is calling us as a church, His team, to grow as we all become one, as God is one. One last aside. If you are here today and you do not yet belong to Jesus' team, and you would like to, there are many people here who would love to talk with you, myself included, and the elders as well. Please, please, please do not miss this opportunity this morning. Come talk with one of us today. Let's pray. Father, we come before you asking that you would help us. Father, just as Jesus is praying, Lord, we come before you and pray the same prayer. Make us one. Help us to grow in our belonging with each other, our belonging with you, and our relationships with those out in the world. Father, be at work in us through your Spirit. Shape our hearts.